Welcome to the hottest podcast around. Good Things Come in Threes, with your expert panel of hosts, Pastor Jack Horner, Pastor Liz Fry, and Pastor John Brock.
Welcome to Good Things Come in Threes, a podcast of Trinity Lutheran Church in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. My name is Pastor Jack Horner, and I'm here with my colleagues, Pastor John Brock.
Hello there.
And Pastor Liz Fry.
Hey, friends.
Well, you know, it's that time of year, guys.
Yes, it is.
Reformation Sunday.
It's not what I had in mind.
It's right around the corner. Well, we might talk a little bit about Reformation Sunday as well, but we want to share some of our stories about Halloween that we remember growing up and all of those frights and ghouls. Anyway, we're going to talk about some scary movies that we saw, maybe some scary characters that really, really frightened us. And then we're going to go into a little bit of history and fun facts about this time of year. And maybe then we'll talk about the Reformation, okay?
All righty.
Sounds good.
So, scary movies. What do you got?
Oh, well, for me, one of the scariest movies I've ever seen is Alien. But that's not really a Halloween movie.
Well, you know what? I'm going to disagree with you.
Well,
I'm going to disagree with you, and here's why. What was amazing about Alien that I think about is it was basically a haunted house.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Right?
Yep.
And it had very much that feel of.
I've never seen Alien.
Sorry. Oh my god.
I don't like to be scared, so I probably have never
you
seen
would
most
not
of the movies.
You would not have liked that movie.
Okay.
If you don't like to be scared. It was an incredibly frightening movie that takes place on a cargo ship in outer space.
Yeah. And they land on an asteroid.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming you're familiar with the overall premise of
absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Holy buckets. Well then, why did we invite her? Somebody remind me.
Pastor Liz doesn't get out much. So.
I don't like scary movies.
That's okay.
I think in the production meeting, we need to go over the movie list for Pastor Liz.
Thank you. I would appreciate that. I would like synopses of everything we're going to talk about.
To get back to your question in general, though, Jack, I personally don't care for slasher movies, but I like horror movies. I like... Like zombie or vampire movies, because for me what I enjoy watching those movies is just that struggle between good and evil.
Ah, okay, very good. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. that you know, when I grew up in the 80s, so there were a ton of those sorts of slasher films that were coming out then, and you went to just get scared. You went for those moments when all of a sudden whoever it is just kind of steps out, whether it's Freddy or
for Jason.
Jason was really big then, and just coming out and scaring all those 18 to 24-year-olds and then killing them. So yeah, that was a little bit of a scary kind of thing. My movie that it wasn't so much that the movie scared me, but this was the scariest character for me growing up.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I don't know.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the Child Catcher.
Well, no wonder.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Do you remember the movie? Mm-hmm. So there was this really, really creepy guy who, this was a fake, kingdom, like a fake German kingdom where the king had decided to outlaw children. And he had this guy called the Child Catcher. And the Child Catcher would go throughout the little kingdom searching for the children.
Okay, that was creepy.
Yes. And the way he would do that is he would take candy. He would have a little cart with candy. And he would go, "Children, children, come out and play. I've got lots of candy for you." And there's a scene where the kids, who are told, stay where you are. There's an evil child catcher out there. As soon as they hear candy, they're like, oh, we want candy.
Yes.
And they go out, and then they get caught by the child catcher, and it was incredibly, incredibly frightening to me. But I'm glad to say that about 10 years ago, I watched the movie again, and I was able to get over that fear. So, did not scare me as much as I remembered growing up.
Linda was there to hold your hand.
So yes, I had the family gathered around. I did think it was a little cruel that they wanted to put it on in the first place, to be perfectly honest. But I did kind of suck it up and do that. And
they just wanted to help you face your fears.
That's right. They just wanted to help me face my fears, and I was able to do that. So that was very, very good. I was very happy about that.
I've never moved past my childhood fear of a character.
Okay, what is it?
The Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh.
She's absolutely terrifying. Yeah, like she scares me. I went to go see The Wizard of Oz, a theatrical version of it, and that's changed my life. It completely terrified me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you, my pretty, and I'm going to get your little dog, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Never thought I'd use that, but I'm really happy to.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so it's quite exciting. Quite exciting. Now, for The Wizard of Oz, for me, it was the flying monkeys.
Oh, well, yeah.
When they first come in and fly in, because, you know, I'm sure they did better stunts back in the day, you know, even back when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, but for 1930s, I thought that was pretty gosh darn good.
Yep.
You know, the way they just kind of flew
in. That movie was cutting edge in a lot of ways.
Oh,
I believe that. Yeah. I believe it. Well, the whole set design and everything was just pretty, and the makeup for that matter.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's terrifying.
Yeah.
Oof.
So what other, any other movies that you found to be particularly frightening?
Well, I know that I can base my strong dislike of spiders back to a schlocky 50s sci-fi movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were doing atomic testing out in the deserts, and the ants and the spiders grew to be gigantic in
size.
That's
right.
I can remember watching that one afternoon.
I remember that.
And on the old black and white TV. And
So you are like Ron Weasley, Pastor Brock.
I don't care for spiders. Outdoors, I will absolutely do my best to leave them alone because they do a great job in catching bugs, but they don't belong in my house.
Yeah, I got to see a lot of those movies because I grew up in this area, and there was Channel 17 out of Philadelphia.
Okay.
And every Saturday afternoon, they would have shock theater
and horror theater.
Yeah. Okay. And they would show back-to-back for 4 hours two different movies, and I swear they were pretty much from the 50s and 60s.
Oh yeah,
these movies. I mean, some of them even went back to the 30s. So the Wolfman.
Yep.
The one about the that you were saying.
Yeah, the spider.
Yeah, yeah, the spider
atomic
one.
Testing.
War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
All of those. Yeah, all of those sorts of things back to back, including the ones that got even strange. You know, as you went into the 70s and stuff like that. So yeah, but it was really. Yeah, it was a Saturday afternoon. You know, that's if it was snowing out or raining outside, you were inside watching these scary.
Yep, absolutely.
These scary films.
Absolutely.
So you know, I mean, we get scared, but we also find it sometimes fun to get scared.
Some people do.
Yeah, some people do.
I do not. I do not.
Okay.
Like, you know, like friends would say, like, let's go to Jason's Woods on Friday night when we were in high school. I'm like, no. No. Why would you want that? Like, why would you want to purposely pee your pants?
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry.
That's a very valid point.
It's terrifying.
A very valid point.
I don't understand the draw.
Okay. So. Well, it, when I get scared, it never got to that point, but I appreciate where you're coming from with that one. So let's talk about some of the history. Where does this all come from? Where does this all begin?
Well, you know, that's a good question because there's nothing absolutely definitive, but a lot of historians will say that it really comes back They trace it back to the old Celts, back in Ireland, Scotland area, and the celebration of Samhain, I think is how it's pronounced, S-A-M-H-A-I-N, or maybe it's Samhain. But it was a practice. The Celtic year, and I'm going to publicly thank this great article that I got off the internet by Katie Lang, L-A-N-G. But the Celtic year is divided into two halves, the light and the dark, and they're delineated by two of their four annual fire festivals. So this is one of the, so the four festivals, the solstices and the equinox. And the Samhain is the fire festival that marks the beginning of the dark half of the year.
Okay. And this is all like pre-Christian stuff, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So this is before the Celts
accepted
Christianity.
Yeah.
And
for that matter, it might even go back to be before Christ. Okay. We really don't know how old is.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the celebration of Samhain and the celebration of light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
But that this was a time that they would celebrate the end of the harvest, but the preparations for the coming winter. But with the dark, of course, you know, pre-electricity in the dark, and scary things come out of the dark, as Liz is very much attesting to. So what they were trying to do was to scare away the scary things.
Mm. Ah, okay.
And it's just over time that it becomes, it's kind of relatively recent, admittedly, like the last 300-ish years, but still relatively recent, that it starts to become less a let's scare away all of the things and more of a time to get goodies.
Hmm. Okay.
So and it's really not until about the 1800s that they go around starting to do what we would call trick or treating.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. A lot has changed with that, with those religious festivals that then become popular festivals. Even in my time, I mean, you know, people would put up some decorations, and mainly it was a pumpkin, you know, a jack-o'-lantern outside, and then you'd go trick or treating. And you know, I know this is going to sound strange to a lot of the younger parents out there, but you would actually go trick-or-treating on October 31st, on Halloween, of all times. I know, crazy, right?
That's
crazy
what I grew idea. Up doing, yeah.
Yeah, and it was only two and a half hours, and, you know, you'd hit up your neighborhood for the most part and stuff like that. And, you know, there were some decorations. You'd have some people that would really trick things out. You know, and do the, you know, people like to go to their house because they would, you know, sometimes they would be in their own costumes and stuff like that. And that was a lot of fun. But for the most part, it was, you know, you just go to the house, you knock on and say trick or treat. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, now it's interesting that you brought up the pumpkins and the jack-o'-lanterns. That is thought to come from an Irish legend of Stingy Jack. The legend of Stingy Jack is that the devil, or that's rather Stingy Jack invited the devil to have a drink with him, but Jack didn't want to pay, so he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin. Instead of buying the drink, Stingy Jack pocketed the coin and kept it close to a silver cross in his house, thus preventing the devil from taking shape again. But then he promised the devil he would let him go if he would leave Jack alone for a year. And it was only if Jack died that the devil could get his soul. So a year goes by, and the devil leaves him alone. Then finally Jack dies. God doesn't want such a conniving person in heaven. And the devil, true to his word, is not going to allow him in hell. So Jack's sent off into the night with only a burning coal to light his path. He places the coal inside a carved out turnip, and he's been roaming the earth ever since.
You know, that's funny. I just heard that this morning, that pumpkins started out as turnips.
As turnips, yep.
Yes. Can you imagine?
No.
little tiny turnips sitting on your steps.
But I'm sure, I'm sure from the time that this legend hails, turnips were way more prolific than pumpkins.
Oh,
were.
I bet. Oh, that's really, really kind of funny.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is very funny. I don't really appreciate that his name was Jack. I think
that's, you know, Stingy Jack. Yes,
I think we should have different names for these things.
So is that why they're called jack-o'-lanterns?
Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is.
Yep. Yeah.
Jack O' Lanterns.
There we go.
Yeah.
Jack O' Turnips.
Yes.
Jack O' Turnips.
You know? Yeah. Oh, very good. So I don't know about you, but I enjoyed doing the trick-or-treating. That was always a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, and when you get to a certain age and it's like, oh, you can't really go anymore, that was always sad, you know?
Like you aged out. Was you really kind of, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, kind yeah. Of, yeah, for us out. It was eighth grade. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Huh.
But as an adult, as a parent, I enjoyed
bringing
Halloween.
Your kids around.
Yes. I enjoyed bringing the kids around, and I enjoyed after the kids got home because what I would do is I would say, okay, you now need to empty all of your candy out on the table because, you know, we need to do that safety check, you know, to make sure there's no poisoned things
in there. Well, you're joking, but you're not, because when I was a kid, people talked about like putting razor blades in people and candy when I was a kid.
Yeah. Do you know that that's like I think that's like an urban legend.
It totally is.
Nobody has ever found them.
Yeah, I don't think it really happened. But yeah, I had the same things back in the 70s. But what I liked about it was I also took it as an opportunity to teach my children about taxation. Do you want to know what that's about?
Teach us.
Well, so they would
enlighten us.
Well, they would empty their candy out on the table, and then I would say, okay, these two are for you. And this one is for me, because I wanted them to understand that, you know, no matter what they have, the government will always try to take some of it from you. So I just wanted them to understand I will play the role of the government, and I will tax your candy.
What is your relationship with your children now because of that?
They're estranged.
Well, I think it's fine. I mean, I don't think I still think none of them have ever had a malted milk ball, a Swedish fish. But you know, I get you know fish, as the tax guy, I can take whichever ones I want. So those are the ones I usually went for.
We would throw. We would put all of our candy on the ground, and we would we would put them on the ground and then just, you know, put them into categories and then count all of them and have tallies. My brother and I would tally all of our different kinds of candy up so that we would know that mom wouldn't eat our candy. Now, I know because I've taken the tally. I have 25 Reese's peanut butter cups. Do not touch them. They are mine. I did the work.
See?
See, this taxation thing, I'm not a fan of.
I was going to say, you must be a free market capitalist. That's how that works. I was, I was more of a socialist when it came to that. I was the one that walked around with you. Therefore, I deserve candy as well. And gotcha. I will take my third, including taking the ones that I like the best. So,
oh my goodness gracious.
So the houses that gave out the good stuff, would you go back there twice?
Now that's really good. No, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. Yeah, but that's a good idea. But what was interesting about it is, and I've been in some neighborhoods where, there were hardly any, the way you tell is, are the lights on?
Yep.
If the lights are on, you can go ahead and go up. But I was surprised going out with my kids. I mean, there were just a lot of dark houses. And when I was growing up, it was completely the opposite. I mean, there were a few dark houses, but most of the houses, the lights were on. They were expecting kids, and it was just a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For us, it was like a competition to see who you with your friends, like who could get the farthest away from your house.
Oh wow!
You know, so you wanted to cover as much ground as you possibly could in the 2 hours that you had.
Yeah, when I was in New York, people learned where the good neighborhoods were.
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely, yes.
And a lot of people were living on these roads that were, country-type roads where, my kids couldn't walk out on the road where the parsonage was. It was just, it was impossible. It was too busy. And so we'd have to take them to other people's neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So you begin to learn, hey, where's the good candy?
Yep.
What's the good neighborhood with lots
of houses?
Who's
giving a full-size candy bar? Yes.
Oh, that's nice,
that's
too.
What you need to know.
That's nice, too.
Yeah,
I would take the Milky Ways if that were the case.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, or Kit Kats. I would do the Kit Kats. Or Trix.
Okay, it sounds like...
or any other thing that has chocolate in it.
Yeah, right?
Yes. Caramel. We understand.
Yeah, I was more of a stealer of caramel.
Oh, okay.
That was related to chocolate.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. Yes, yeah. I don't think I ever rated. I think if I ever had any of my kids' candy, I specifically asked them, may I have this piece?
Thank you, John.
But, no, I never did that. No.
But we also have never, when my children were of trick-or-treating age, we never lived in a place where they could trick-or-treat our immediate neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so we would have to go places to do so.
And John, when does the government ever come to you and say, hey, is it okay if we take some of this tax money from you? Right? They just come in and take it, don't they? Don't they?
So anyway, do you have any memorable costumes from your childhood? Do you remember anything that you dressed up as?
I don't have memorable from my childhood, but Marianne, for the first several years, made costumes for Benjamin and Evan.
Oh, that's nice.
I mean, one year Benjamin was Hagrid, and Evan was a wizard. One year, one of them was Robin Hood. That she just made. Though there was the year that Evan was a cow, complete with udder. She just could do amazing things with her sewing machine.
That's utterly awesome.
Oh.
Sorry, I had to.
That's bad. That is so bad.
What about you, Jack? Do you have a favorite costume or a memorable costume?
I'm trying to think about that. I mean, I you know, every year you would go out and you'd find the costume that you're going to do. I think when I was growing up, it was just the beginning of the real fancy masks, you know, those rubber masks.
Sure.
Before that, it was just that piece of thin plastic with the elastic that you would put on. One time and I'm not sure if it was for Halloween or not, but I'll tell you about it anyway because it's really kind of funny as I look back on it. So I grew up on a street that wasn't really finished, you know, so it had rocks on it. And there were like three families that we were all the same age. And we would just love going out there and making ramps in the middle of the street and, you know, doing these jumps.
Oh, okay.
Right. And this is the same time as Evel Knievel doing all of his stuff. So I decided I was going to be Evel Knievel. So I took a sweatshirt that I had. And I wrote, you know, I took markers and I, you know, made it all fancied up just like he would do with the red, white, and blue kind of thing. And then back in the day, if you were going to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Okay.
And if you were going to get a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, this is back in the early 70s.
I'm like, where are you going with this?
Okay, well, like, just hear me out.
Okay.
So the bucket of chicken was actually, it was plastic. It wasn't the paper ones that they give you today. It was plastic.
Oh, yeah. They had real buckets.
It was
red plastic. Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah. Okay.
So I cut a hole.
Oh, my gosh.
And I turned it into a helmet. Just like a motorcycle helmet.
Oh, my goodness.
And I would be riding my bike with my...
Are there photographs of this?
Oh, my gosh. That would be awesome.
I would love to see that.
I don't know if there are photographs of that anymore, but it was pretty funny. I'd be riding around with my bicycle, jumping, you know, doing these jumps with a fried chicken bucket on my head.
Because the dog really liked you when you were done.
Yeah, come to think of it, I don't remember how well cleaned it was. I'm sure it was well cleaned. I'm sure it was cleaned. My mother might have even helped me make the holes, I guess. I don't know. But anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, for Halloween, October 31st, you know, enjoy it when you go out there. Have fun with it. Be safe, most of all.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But just have fun and enjoy your time with your friends and your family while you're out there. You might be thinking, well, where does this fit in with Reformation Day? And actually, Reformation Day is also celebrated that same day on October 31st because that happened to be All Souls Day. So on November 1st, the church celebrated All Saints Day. We kind of sometimes call it All Saints Sunday, but it was All Saints Day, November 1st. It's always November 1st. And the day before is October 31st, All Souls Day, when the church would pray for all those who have died in the past. And there was a this is the day that Martin Luther put up his 95 theses, which is also it was these one sentence articles of debate, you know, points of debate, and he did 95 of them. And that really kind of set off the Reformation. It was a matter of the right person at the right time with the right kind of historical, cultural situation. They were probably originally done in Latin. They were translated into German, and they were passed out throughout all of these German kingdoms, and that really kind of set off the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. So for Lutheran Christians, it's not only Halloween, but we also want to remember Martin Luther. Although now that I think about it, I should have dressed up as him. That would have been fun. Did the little tonsure, you know, where you shave the top of your head.
And nobody would have known who you were.
And nobody would have known. Yeah, that's true. Nobody would have known. But it's also a special day in our congregation as being a Lutheran congregation and Lutherans throughout the world as we remember. Yeah. The Reformation. So
I'm going to jump in with a quick little bit of etymology. So you talked about All Souls Day and All Saints Day. Saints are those who we as Christians say that saints are those who have died in the faith and who now reside with God. That another word for saint is one who is hallowed. So November 1st would be the hallowed day. So October 31st would be Hallows Eve or All Hallows Eve.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Hallows
and
Eve.
That's where it is thought that we got the nomenclature of Halloween.
Of Halloween.
Hallows Eve.
There it is. Very excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much for that, John.
I am full of useless information.
That's not useless.
No, it's not useless at all. That's interesting. Well, we hope you enjoyed this conversation about Reformation Day. I mean, Halloween. And
slip of the tongue.
And when you see us, you know, if you happen to see us on Sunday, hey, please come up to us and tell us what scary character you have or that you are afraid of. You can also send us a message on our Facebook page as well, and let us know what that is too. So, be the church. Jesus is Lord. Share the good news. We want to thank you for joining us. And we're really looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. So seek the good.
Be the good.
Share the good.
Because good things come
in threes.
Pastor Liz, would you lead us out with a blessing?
I would be happy to. The Lord be with you, friends.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the many ways that we celebrate historical things in our times. We also give you thanks for the creative ways that these holidays have taken different shapes in different cultures. We ask that you would bless and be with all those who are celebrating Halloween, keep them safe and healthy this year. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.